Again, good morning. We welcome our guests back and our students. We thank you for being here this morning, joining us. This morning, we're going to take a look at a text which we will see that Jesus doesn't have much use for, something that we usually like. And that is tradition. The traditions of mankind. We will see that it is not following tradition that makes us unholy or undefiled, but rather, it is the things that come out of us that make us undefiled or unholy. This is something that Jesus tells the religious leaders. It's something that should call actually each and every one of us into question. We all follow traditions. And those traditions need to be tested. Not by time, but by the Word of God. And some of them are very good, and some of them aren't. But we have to look at them in light of what the Scripture tells us. And not just this text, but throughout the Scripture. And especially those things that Jesus reveals to us. Because God changed the tradition. He had a perfectly good one in Judaism. But He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and take away the cycle of sin and death. And instead He washed away that sin in the blood of His Son to bring us life. And because of this great promise that is for each and every one of us, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from Mark 7, verses 1 through 7, and then again picking up at verse 14 through 23. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading or the hearing of the gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. Then came together unto him the Pharisees, and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, oft not eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brassen vessels, and of tables. When the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well, Elias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrines of the commandments of men." And picking up again, verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And when he entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, "Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defile a man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Amen. Please be seated. Our text sounds like, in the beginning, like many other texts, that Jesus is going to be very hard on the Pharisees and the scribes. Because the whole thing is set up that way. And the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him. And they observed that some of his disciples were eating their bread with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all the Jews, will not eat unless they wash their hands ritually, keeping with the tradition of the elders. And so, you get this setup. And we, who have heard the words of Jesus for a while, understand, oh, the Pharisees are stepping into it again. He's going to blast them. And yes, he is going to. Because the Pharisees and the Jews in general have traded the word of God and the commandments of God for traditions that were set up by men. Some of the washings and these things that they did were not even called for within the Old Testament. And yet, it became one of those things that this is the way we do it because this is our tradition. And this is what God is pleased with. Well, nowhere in the scripture does it seem to say that God is pleased with a tradition. God is pleased with those who believe in the promises that He has made. They had all kinds of different washings. They had, if you ever want to really look through this, go through the book of Deuteronomy and find out all the true rules that God gave to the Jews. And yet, even in doing all of these things, all of these outward signs, Jesus does not follow them. And he was born a Jew. And he doesn't make his disciples follow them. And the Pharisees, that's what they're most upset about. Why the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating bread with ritually unclean hands? And this is Jesus' answer to them. Isaiah prophesied correctly about you hypocrites. It is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as the doctrines, the commandments of men. And this really becomes the question. It really is the thing that should make us stand up and take notice. In our religious practice, are the things we do and how we do them in keeping with Jesus and how he asks us to worship in spirit and in truth? Or are they tradition? And this is what we always do. One of the interesting things that I can bring up this morning is something we've talked about in our adult class and we've talked about in board meetings at different times in very short things. But communion. We have communion once a month. And I once asked the question, why do we only have communion once a month? And someone said, that's what we always do. But when you look back into Acts and into the early church fathers, they had communion every time they gathered together. And so you start to dig a little more. Well, why don't we change this and go back to that way? Well, it takes too much time. That's the way it was, you know, when I grew up. What does that matter? Jesus said, every time you gather together. These are things that we have set up as tradition and said, well, this is sacrosanct. We, as human beings, need to look at our traditions. Some of them are absolutely wonderful and deep. Do not get me wrong. I do not want to make us question everything and say it's all wrong, because that's not true. We have been given wonderful traditions. We have been given wonderful messages and things that we do that are meaningful and wonderful. But it does not mean that they should not be examined in light of what the Scripture teaches us. Because that is the one rule and norm that we have. And Jesus goes on to really explain what he means by you don't have to follow these traditions that the Jews had set up. He says, summoning the crowd again, he told them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that goes into a person from the outside can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. You see, we a lot of times look at the external. How do we do things? What is our order? A simple thing. Do you pray before a meal? It's very interesting as I go and I visit people and I may go out to dinner. Pastor's here, we got to pray. And not that that's a bad thing. But if it is not the way that you do things, you aren't evil because you don't do those things. And there's no reason to make a show because the pastor's here. The things that make us defiled come out of us. Those are the things. And he gives us that list in the end of this text. But he really wants people to understand that it is not by doing things in a certain way or doing these things in an exacting manner that makes us holy. What makes us holy is the person of Jesus Christ. That he went to the cross as a sacrifice for our sins and shed his blood that we would be forgiven and then was raised up, raising us up to a new life, giving us victory and absolutely changing the tradition of sin and death, but rather giving us life. If anyone has ears to hear, he should listen. When he went into the house and away from the crowd, the disciple asked him about the parable. And he said to them, are you also so lacking in understanding? Don't you realize that nothing going into a man from the outside can defile him? I think this is very interesting because first of all, we start this text, we think, all right, he's going to blast the scribes and the Pharisees. But now his own disciples are asking about this because they don't really get it. And so this text really lends itself to being for us also. Because do we really understand it? Do we understand that there is nothing in creation that can hurt us when we are a part of Christ Jesus? He has given us victory over sin, death, and the devil. And yet Christianity runs around all the time scared. We have nothing to fear. There is nothing out there that can defile us. Our unholiness comes from inside us. It's the things that come out of our mouth, the actions that we do, the thoughts that we have. For the things that come to the inside, the things that you eat are purged. They are flushed, as it would be. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of people's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Again, we have this list, and this is a list from Jesus Christ himself of all those things that are sins and defile us. And I would dare say that if we look at that list hard enough, we will find ourselves listed there. If nothing else, you get to the pride part. You see, human beings are not defiled by what goes into them, but by what they do. And this is the hard part for us, because we are redeemed. Jesus Christ died for all of those sins. And yet, even in the church, all of those things exist. And usually we can get down to even in ourselves, at least many of those things exist. And so we too always need to understand that we are new creations. We are new creatures. And this is really what James is addressing as he brings up who we are and to be doers of the word. Verse 25 of James chapter 1. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and is preserved in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who acts. This is the person who will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, but deceiving his heart, his religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God our Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Do we take care of others? Do we look at others as more important than ourselves? When we treat people poorly, when we think of ourselves as better than others, our religion is worthless. And I honestly believe there are times that we all fall into this trap. We think somehow we are better than those people out there. We're not. We're sinners saved by grace. We're part of the reason that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. That we could know that our sins are washed away. Even those ones in those lists. And so that today we could hear that message, that gospel message, and that we could go out and start over again. Pick ourselves up and go out and spread this gospel message. We all, even as Christians, need to be called into question. We are not perfect. We are sinners saved by grace through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we are also raised to be new creatures, to be spreaders of the gospel, to take care of the widows and the orphans, and to know that we are undefiled by this world, because we are God's children. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks. Thanks that you can call us into question. And you can call us back and help us to understand that we too are sinners in need of your grace. But Father, also for not letting us remain in that state of sorrow, but proclaiming to us that we are forgiven by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask, Father, that you would work in and through us by the power of this word and through your Holy Spirit, that we would go into our communities and we would humbly bring this message to people who are desperate to hear it and to know of your love. Father, work in and through this body to be messengers of your gospel and to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.